You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now, you can lease a 2017 Blue Cruise from only $138 bi-weekly at Lakewood Chev. Sam Werner from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us. Sam, do they play that black and yellow song ever for the Penguins before the games?
You know, it's cooled down a little bit, but back around when it came out, I think it was like 2010 or so. Yeah, it was just, you couldn't go to a Pittsburgh sporting event because all three teams have the same colors. So it was black and yellow, Wiz Khalifa everywhere.
Sure, why not? I love it.
Sam, I apologize. Greger's so out of touch. We all know that was 2010. Let's get serious here.
Come on, you don't even know the artist's name.
I do. I love Bruno Mars. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been kind of black and blue for the Penguins. Another injury on the back end. They usually just kind of, it seems to roll off their back without Letang. They've been great. But Trevor Daley, it might not seem like a big loss, but that's a big loss in an already depleted blue line.
Yeah, you know, I think you look at, you know, Daley coming back at the end of the regular season, and specifically, you know, him playing with Olli Maatta, I think has been really good for both players. Those are two guys who have been sort of up and down when they were healthy on the blue line for the Penguins this season, and they've been a pretty productive partnership so far in the playoffs. But, you know, this is also why they went out and made the moves that they did at the trade deadline, getting Ron Hainsey, getting Mark Streit. It looks like Chad Riedel is going to be the guy stepping in for Daley tonight. But, you know, this is one of those cases where you sort of look at it as a blessing in disguise that they had all those injuries during the regular season, because now a guy like Riedel is stepping in with 34 regular season games under his belt, as opposed to, you know, a guy who only played a handful or so.
Does it make it easier for that back end of the Penguins that they pretty much spread out the minutes evenly? You know, you look at the top guys for ice time, incredibly, it's Ron Hainsey leading it, but just by a few seconds, but everyone's pretty much 21 minutes to like 19 minutes a night on the back end.
Yeah, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, and the players have said that. You can absolutely feel it late in games that no one's taking that, you know, Chris Letang 25, 28 minutes a night that they did last year. And I think that's been really a key for them to sort of move through this without Letang in the lineup. And it's really different from what they used to success last year. I mean, last year Letang did carry a heavy load, and a guy like Justin Schultz only played 13, 14 minutes a night. But this year, you know, just about everyone is in that 19, 20-minute range, and they say that helps. And specifically when I talked to them earlier in the series, they said, you know, it helps now, but it's really going to help when you get to game 6 and 7 and your legs are starting to get a little sore. And, you know, we'll see tonight. And if they have to, then maybe on Wednesday too for game 7, if that's actually the case.
The Washington Capitals switched up their lines, put Ovechkin on the quasi third line. Although, you know, you looked at his minutes and at even strength, he definitely was a third line, even strength minute guy. But overall, I still think he played the third or fourth most minutes out of the forwards. How much of a matchup concern was that for the Penguins, considering, you know, you still had the Backstrom line and the other ones? Will it change how they deploy certain matchups now that Ovechkin's away from Backstrom?
Well, it'll certainly be interesting. You know, the Penguins shook up their lines this morning, going back to sort of more what we saw in last year's playoffs with Crosby, Sheary, and Hornquist, and then Malkin, Gensel, and Russ, and then the HBK line of Carl Hagelin, Nick Bonino, and Phil Kessel was back together. And Mike Sullivan said that wasn't quite a reaction to moving to Ovechkin on the third line, but I think it does sort of even things out a little bit. You know, I think with Ovechkin on that third line, the Penguins maybe placed a greater emphasis on something they did really well last year, which was spreading out the scoring across their top three lines too. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the matchups continue tonight, especially now that the Penguins have last change again, and they can sort of, you know, play the matchup game a little bit better on home ice.
What about as far as Ovechkin? He did get on the board with a goal last game. Is there a thought or a concern around the Penguins that, like, listen, guys, we got to keep this guy down because we know Ovechkin can explode and explode big time?
Yeah, you know, I think even though he's been sort of quiet this series, no one in that room is taking that for granted. I think, you know, they feel like they've done a pretty good job keeping him quiet, especially on the power play to this point. But you let him loose for one shift, for one shot, and that could all change pretty quickly. So, you know, I think they're definitely aware that they feel like they've done a good job defensively against him to this point. But they also know that can change pretty quickly if you're not aware of it every time he's out on the ice.
Sam Werner from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us. Game 6 tonight, Penguins and the Capitals. Obviously, the Pens don't want to go to game 7, although I'm not sure they'd be that nervous considering these guys never lose to Washington, it seems, in the postseason. But Barakovsky finally showed up. Not only did Ovechkin's line score with Eller, but Barakovsky moving up to the top line as a complimentary guy chipped in. With the injury to Daly, how does it change the defensive pairings, do you think, as far as who matches up on which lines?
You know, I'm not sure it really will all that much, to be honest with you. I think that sort of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where the Penguins really have tried to just roll three defensive pairings pretty evenly throughout this postseason. And, you know, just because it'll be likely Chad Ruedel and Olli Maatta, I'm not sure that's going to change a whole lot. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that Ruedel and Maatta pairing is probably the weakest of the three, and I wouldn't be surprised if that one is probably on the lower end of the ice time and the matchup game tonight. But on the whole, I don't think they're overly concerned about getting defensive pairing matchups. They just want to make sure that they're rolling the guys through and not, you know, overtaxing one pair. Because that is the one thing that these defense pairs have shown, especially, you know, you look at a pairing like Justin Schultz and Ian Cole, and those are two guys who have been really, really good when they're in the right situation. But once they get overtaxed, that's when their effectiveness starts to go down a little bit. So I think it'll be, you know, a pretty even spread as far as who gets the matchups against that top line tonight.
The two best power plays left are in this series. Penguins, Capitals, both click at nearly 25%, which is pretty impressive. Because of that ability on the power play, have you seen either team kind of back off the physical play as the series has marched along?
Not really, to be honest with you. I think Washington has sort of adjusted their physical play a little bit as the series has gone on. And I think early on they sort of tried to, you know, I don't want to say get in the Penguins' heads, but, you know, be that more physical team. And I think especially in Game 5 the other night, they sort of adjusted to just play and you know, copying that Mike Sullivan mantra that he loves. So, yeah, no, I think that, you know, they both know that you ask any coach and the best way to kill a penalty is stay out of the box in the first place. But I don't think that either team is taking their foot off the pedal with regards to physical play necessarily.
And one last one for you. What do you think happens in the offseason with Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray and the goaltending situation of the Penguins?
Well, I'm still going to hold on to sort of what the working theory has been all year. I think Marc-Andre Fleury will get moved this offseason. You know, you just look at the age difference, the amount he's due to make next year. And I think that, you know, the logic still says you stick with the 22-year-old cup-winning goalie over the 32-year-old cup-winning goalie. So, you know, it would be something if Fleury can lead them on another deep postseason run and sort of ride off into the sunset that way. And, you know, I do think that Murray's injury situation, you know, not just with this one, but he's gotten hurt a couple of times over his young career. I think that might maybe give them pause a little bit. But they've also got a guy, Tristan Jarry, who's backing up now that they do think very highly of and they feel like could be, you know, maybe a backup next year and a guy with a lot of potential. So I still think Fleury gets moved, but he's making it awful tough for them with this playoff run.
As always, Sam, we appreciate it. Enjoy Game 6 tonight and maybe Game 7 on Wednesday. I'd love a double dip, Oilers and Ducks in the late game and Pens Capitals in the early one. That'd be fantastic. I love Game 7.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.